Hey, welcome to a new episode of Last Call Baseball, number 148. I'm Dorian, and I'm going to start with a question. Did you see any of the games yesterday? Opening day, hashtag, by the way, opening day, MLB, Major League Baseball. This is the beauty pageant. This is the finals of the beauty pageant, because over the past, 5 months, I've been watching and talking about the Nicaraguan Winter League, the Caribbean Series, college baseball. Have I been talking about college baseball? No. Major League Baseball. My favorite part of opening day, Thursday, March 28th, and today, Friday, March 29th, is that there was only one game on national television these 2 days. Just one. New York Yankees at the Houston Astros. That's it. You could have just gone off with your day without knowing baseball has come back. Why are we starting this on a negative route? Let's celebrate. Baseball started again, people. We're going to celebrate that. I watched the game, by the way, the only nationally televised game yesterday or today. I thought the Astros were going to pound down the New York Yankees because the Astros had Framber Valdez, the absolute stud Dominican lefty that they have. I mean, dude, the first four innings, was he cruising? Not really, but he induced three double plays in the first four innings, and of those three double plays, two of them were with the bases loaded, so the Yankees got absolutely nothing. And I was like, wow, this guy's going to be cruising to the sixth, seventh, maybe even the eighth inning in his first start. I was like, that's also not a good thing that that the Yankees continue to load the bases against one of the best pitchers in baseball. Sure enough, Juan Soto, everybody else, they came back, and the Yankees ended up winning the game, even though obviously there was controversy at the end with the, who was it? I don't remember off the top of my head now, but with that foul ball that wasn't called foul, and it was called a passed ball, and it's just a bunch of nonsense. It's like, why do we have instant replay if we can only use it in certain ways? I mean, it was clear as daylight. It was in the top of the eighth inning, I believe, or the top of the ninth inning, that the Yankees batter fouled the ball inadvertently. Even the announcer said, oh yeah, that's clear. It was a foul ball. Pass ball. The Yankees come down. They score the game. The game winning run. It's just nonsense. Let's not have the technology if we're not going to use it. And speaking of the Yankees, I actually watched a game. I think it was last week. Yeah, because spring training just ended. The New York Yankees went down to Mexico for a spring training game against one of the Mexican national teams back on March 24th, earlier this week. What am I talking about? Against the Diablo Rojos de Mexico, the Red Devils of Mexico. And in that game, the Red Devils beat the Yankees. I think it was 4-3 because the Diablo Rojos, it was an exhibition game in Mexico. I forget what city it was in. They were winning 4-0. It was the top of the ninth inning. It was a packed stadium. It was a big deal that the Yankees came to town, and they brought their stars. But the Yankees, I think, scored two or three runs. So they made it close at the top of the ninth inning, just like, obviously, yesterday against the Astros, but different team, different level of competition. Anyways, it's an exhibition game. People made money. Yay, the Yankees are in Mexico. Whatever. In the press conference after the game, they were interviewing Giancarlo Stanton. And somebody gave him one of the, the Mexican wrestling mask, the Lucha Libre, like one of those like very gaudy, like it was gold or silver. And they were like, oh, you should put it on. So he actually put on the Lucha Libre the mask. It was pretty funny. It was all fun and games. Again, it's an exhibition game. They're in Mexico. They're trying to promote the sport, the New York Yankees, make them more money, etc. I like that. It was like having fun because it's a sport at the end of the day. We love entertainment. It's baseball. And when I was watching Giancarlo Stanton putting on that Lucha Libre mask, you know who else would be loving to wear one of those Lucha Libre masks? The MVP All Solar System baseball player, Shohei Ohtani. Did he do it? Is Shohei Ohtani's gambling issue a distraction to the Los Angeles Dodgers? I'm not saying he gambled. I don't know. There's so many. What I loved about it is that when that news came out last week that, he's been defrauded of millions of dollars by his translator, but he wasn't, and Ohtani then said, no, I paid his gambling debts, and then they went back on that. I'm like, oh, Oh, I can't wait to hear the conspiracy theories. I promise you, I actually thought about this. I wasn't coming up with conspiracy theories at all. I wasn't, you know, going on some burner account on Twitter or Instagram thinking about this stuff. But I just couldn't wait to see the internet, which is undefeated, start these crazy rumors about Shohei Ohtani betting on baseball. Shohei Ohtani, I don't know, being blackmailed or whatever. Is Shohei Ohtani going to be a distraction for the Dodgers? No. The Dodgers opened at home yesterday to a rousing ovation when Shohei Ohtani went up to bat. People don't care. I think that it's going to die down unless something drastically, like a smoking gun, happens where Shohei Ohtani was betting on baseball, or his translator took the fall because Shohei Ohtani was betting on horse racing in Iraq, or what was that sport that in Rambo 3 when he was in Afghanistan and they're like running and they're picking up like dead goats and donkeys and putting them in a circle, whatever that sport is, maybe Shohei Ohtani was betting on it. But it's not illegal, because on an app you can do anything on an app now. You can even watch baseball on your telephone if you pay for it, but you can't do it on television. It's a shame. It's a shame. Shohei Ohtani's going to have a phenomenal year. I mean, he's batting with Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman. That's insane. The protection they're going to have. The Dodgers are going to win 100 wins. Of course they're going to have 100 wins. They're going to go to the playoffs, and I think that is when more distraction is going to come. People are going to be like, oh yeah, do you remember back in March, Shohei Ohtani was accused of running with the wrong crowd? And speaking of the LA Dodgers, there's a former LA Dodger, Don Mattingly. Have you seen pictures of him? Because he's now the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, who, by the way, the Toronto Blue Jays are one of the biggest teams in baseball. Their fan base is an entire country of, like, I think Canada has a population of something like 25 million people. And in the U.S., nobody ever talks about the Toronto Blue Jays. I'm talking about, like, just one of the big, great teams, that like the Cubs and the Braves and the Red Sox, etc. People are like, oh, yeah, Canada has their team. The Blue Jays are a freaking monster. They make loads of money. They have an entire country. People talk about, like, oh, Braves country, like the 6 or 8 states in the Southeast and the South. Or the Red Sox obviously have fans in Japan and in all over the U.S. The Dodgers have fans all over the U.S. The Dodgers have fans in Mexico. The Blue Jays are a big 800-pound gorilla nobody talks about. That being said, Don Mattingly, have you seen his amazing Father Christmas beard? It looks like a perfect disguise you would use in a stakeout. You're like, who the heck is that? I highly encourage you to go online and look up Don Mattingly and his awesome white beard that he has. Because is he a man of fashion? I don't know, because obviously he had the mullet when he was playing with the New York Yankees and the mustache. And now 30 years later, he has a full white beard. So go him. I'm a big fan of men growing out their beard and men allowing men to be men, unlike the New York Yankees. They still want you to not be a man because they don't want you to have facial hair. It's like, what are we, 15, like 12-year-old boys with peach fuzz? Get out of here, stupid Steinbrenners. Look out for the Toronto Blue Jays. Nobody's talking about them in the American League East. Everyone's saying Baltimore Orioles, they're so awesome. They have an unlimited amount of youthful talent. And the Yankees obviously signed Juan Soto, even though Gerrit Cole is going to be injured for probably 3 or 4 months. The Tampa Bay Rays are always going to do Tampa Bay Rays things, and they're going to the playoffs. They're going to win 92, 95 games. Toronto Blue Jays, people are sleeping on them. They were my pick last year to go to the World Series. I'm not saying they're going to go to the World Series, but I think they're going to mess up some postseason plans for people. So baseball's back. It's a happy time. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Even though it's the end of March, it's still not late. It's still, you can still say Happy New Year because baseball just started in 2024. Major League Baseball, that is. And then all the nasty habits are back as well. The eating the sunflowers, the spitting them out everywhere, leaving trash everywhere. Disgusting. And you know who else has a very licking, weird habits? Cats. Our special guest is Wendy, owner of Whisker Sitter, which is a cat sitting service. Wendy, welcome to Last Call Baseball.
Thank you, Dorian. I am happy to be here today. I appreciate the invitation to talk to you.
You know what makes me laugh about cats? When they look at you, they raise their legs and they start licking their booty. Why do cats do that?
Maybe they're trying to tell us that they are somehow better than us because they have more skills than we do. I'm not really sure.
I
at first thought it was like them, you know, telling us that they're in charge, but I think they're posturing.
I don't think that's a skill I want.
Me either. But they're more flexible than I'll ever be.
That's true. Okay. I always think it's a power play. I think it's unnecessary. I actually appreciate it when like their back, when I see they're going to do it, but their back is to you, because I don't actually want to see them do their grooming. Is that considered grooming? No, it's like when they lick their backs. I don't know. I love cats. And you love cats as too. You love cats as well. But before we got to talk about cats, I want to talk about baseball, because I asked you to come on because I was randomly looking online of, like I usually do, like a fan, fans of baseball and an engineer, fans of baseball and an astronaut. And I was like, I love baseball. I love cats. Why wouldn't I ask the internet to bring me someone who loves both? And here you are. Before we talk about cats, let's talk a little bit about baseball. Originally, you're from Chicago. Where did your love of baseball come from? And do you have like any memories of like the first time that you went to a baseball game and you're like, I kind of like this sport?
Yeah. So I grew up in a baseball family. We lived in the Chicago suburbs. We are very much Cubs fans. We would watch the games, of course, on TV, but we would also go down to Wrigley Field every summer and go to the games. So great memories there. I also have family on the south side of Chicago and who are big Sox fans. And so I've been to Comiskey Park and have gotten to see the White Sox play. And in fact, the last time I visited, so I've been gone since 98, I've lived in Arizona, but the last time I went out there with my family, we all went to a Cubs game at Wrigley Field and they were playing the Sox. So we always try to time our visits with baseball games. And it was really extra special to get to see both teams play each other, because I don't know if you can be from Chicago and not have both of them near and dear to your heart, even if you have loyalties directly to one. I still have loyalties to both. And I'm a fan of both, but definitely more of a Cubs fan. And I grew up playing softball. So I played softball for many years. My brother was a baseball player. We were both pitchers. So I've been to many little league games. I've been to all the, you know, high school games, all that fun stuff. Like baseball was just part of our lives. My brother has stuck with it. So, you know, as a guy who's at this point in his early 50s, he still plays softball on the weekends with, you know, adult leagues and stuff. So we've just always been baseball fans. And when we came to Arizona, we, you know, Diamondbacks were really new at that time. And we just became Diamondbacks fans immediately. And we make a point when we go to games, we try to go see the Diamondbacks playing the Chicago Cubs, because, you know, it's like getting the best of both worlds.
I love that. And I've actually never been, I've been to Chicago a bunch of times, but I've actually never been to Wrigley Field. I've been to, I don't know what it's called now, but when I went to see the White Sox, it wasn't Comiskey. It's the new stadium, you know, the one right off of whatever that line is on the Metro. I really liked it. I know apparently, I guess some White Sox fans don't like it. This was probably a few years after the White Sox won the World Series. And I loved the food options at whatever the White Sox stadium was called back then. And I've been to Chicago, like I said, a bunch of times for different events, just for vacation, to go run races. I'm like a marathon runner, but I do like to run like 10Ks and stuff like that. Never, every time I'm in Chicago, the Cubs are always out of town. Do you even remember the food options in Wrigley Field? Because I find that now baseball stadiums, you have to be able to offer good food, not just like, hey, come watch the product in the field. Like maybe sometimes the product in the field is kind of not good. And you're like, well, we need a reason to be around here. So we need good food. We need good entertainment for kids and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, first, the field that you're thinking of, they call it the Guaranteed Rate Field now. It will always be Comiskey to me. there's that. And at Wrigley Field, I just remember there was always, I never liked caramel corn, but there was that box. Like you could get a box of it and there would be like caramel, a toy or something in the box.
What the heck is a caramel coin?
Corn.
Corn,
caramel
sorry.
Corn, like popcorn, caramel popcorn. Like Cracker Jacks. Is
So
that
it
what
just
that is?
it so it's just caramel. Instead of putting butter or salt, you put caramel over it.
Yeah. I think
A
it's
heart
I think
attack
it's
waiting
called
to
Cracker
happen.
Jack. Oh, totally. And it
It's
tastes
called
terrible.
911. That's what it's called.
But there would be like a prize inside or a baseball card or something. So you always wanted to get it, even though you wouldn't eat it,
In the
because
middle
you
of it
wanted the
was
prize.
diabetes, is what it was.
Yeah, it was terrible for you. And we would have hot dogs. So very cliche, because that's, back in the 80s, 90s, like that's what it was. But you're right. Like here at Chase Field, where the Diamondbacks play, you can have all kinds of gourmet food. I mean, I think they even probably serve sushi at this point. Like it's definitely, they've stepped up the food game for sure.
In Chicago, fantastic food city. That's not news to anyone. There's not breaking news. I like Chicago deep dish. I'm not crazy about it, but I like it. I actually prefer Detroit style pizza, but that's another topic. Hot dogs. In one of the times I was in Chicago, I hung out with a friend in it's called the Ukrainian Village, right? Like one of the neighborhoods in Chicago. And I had my first, I think it's called Chicago hot dog, where like, they cut the hot dog in the middle. It's in the hot dog bun. And then they add pickles, pepper. Do you know what I'm talking about? Or am I just making this
Yeah,
up?
it's called it. It's a Chicago style dog.
Chicago style dog. Gross.
And
Gross. I didn't like it.
obviously, so it's funny. Being from Chicago, like you're not supposed to put ketchup on your hot dog. That's a thing. I only like pickles and celery salt on my hot dog. So there you
Wait, wait,
go.
wait.
We all are unique.
What is cell? I know what a celery stick is. I know what salt is. I don't know what a celery
Celery
salt is.
salt is a really fine, kind of like a salt, like a seasoning. I would call it a seasoning, just a finely ground seasoning. And you sprinkle it on top. So that would be the traditional last topping of a Chicago style hot dog is the celery salt. It just gives it
Maybe.
a little kick of flavor.
Maybe that's what is didn't make me like it. I'm joking. I know. I didn't like the presentation. I was like, this is not a hot dog. Like my hot dogs, I like it. I only eat. I'm very snobbish about this. When I get invited to like barbecues or cookouts or whatever you want to call them, I make it a point, believe it or not, to bring my own hot dog back because I only eat Hebrew National. Has nothing to do with religion or anything. They just taste the best. So I bring them. I have them, and I want my hot dog bun slightly on the grill, like 30 seconds, a minute on each side. Then I put mustard on it. Delicious.
Okay, well, the next time you're in Chicago, you need to check out Portillo's because they are the top place to go. Period.
Portillo. Okay, I'm writing this down. Portillo.
POR, Portillo's. It was founded by Dick Portillo back in the 60s. He started with a little food truck basically, and it wasn't even, it was like a food cart on the streets, and he has built quite a it's quite a restaurant chain, and it's all the way out here in Arizona, and it's right here in the town of Gilbert. They just opened one last year.
Oh, wow.
But Portillo's is that they're the very best Chicago hot dog, so I think you just didn't have a good experience.
I think my follow-up question to that, to the hot dog question, is would a cat enjoy a Portillo hot dog?
My cat, my tuxedo cat, Romeo, he absolutely would. He eats all people food. I think he wouldn't care.
I love it. I love cats and I love baseball. And I was like, I found a lady who loves both. I'd love to talk with her. Where did you had obviously mentioned that you come from a baseball family. Obviously, you still love the Chicago Cubs. You support for family reasons because you don't want a house divide. Well, we all have houses divided in some semblance or form. And you also love cats. But where did your love of cats from come from?
Yeah, so growing up, we always had cats. And when I was maybe seven, 6 or 7, I got to adopt my own cat. So, and my brother got to adopt his own cat. And then when we were in high school, we got to adopt more cats that were just ours. So we were constantly, we always had cats. And then my mom always had family cats. So we always had, three, four cats at the house. We also grew up with a dog, and we absolutely love our dog. And as an adult and a grown up, I have gone on to have, I now have my third dog. So I always have dogs of some kind. I always have like one, but cats, you can never have too many. So my husband, I will tell you, he did cut me off at one point when I had three cats and a dog. He was like, I think we're good for a while. You know, we could, wait for them to just keep moving on in life. I would totally be the cat lady if I could. I could very much. In fact, last summer, I was getting a purse. We were going to be going on vacation, and I wanted something not so bulky. And my daughter and I were at a store, and there was this purse with cats all over it. And she grabbed it, and she was like, "Mom, this is for you." And I'll admit, I bought it, and I use it every day. And because she was like, "You just need to embrace your inner cat lady." So there you go. I am totally the cat lady.
I love that. You know, when I travel, I know I don't buy purses with cats on them, but for gifts, I always try to put a little cat slant on gifts if I'm traveling, you know, outside of maybe the US or something like that. Yeah, so I'm a big fan. I love that. And I think that cats bring good luck, even though there's not yet any Major League Baseball teams that allow cats, just like you have bark in the park, what have you. You can bring your dogs, but you can't bring your cats, which I think is a great injustice. And I wish Johnny Cochran was still alive, and I would ask him to sue Major League Baseball for that. But I think cats bring good luck to baseball teams, and I highly encourage, and I want you to, I don't know, do something. Maybe having a partnership. Maybe you could be the official cat sitter for the Arizona Diamondbacks. And I say this because the Diamondbacks came off of a good regular season, and they went on that awesome run all the way to the World Series. And I think that if the Diamondbacks had had more pitching, they probably could have beaten the Texas Rangers. But what, 4 years ago, the Tampa Bay Rays, who have an official mascot of a cat, also went to the World Series. But then now that I think about it, they ended up losing to the LA Dodgers in that COVID 2020 year. So maybe cats bring you just enough luck to go to the World Series, but not win. But anyway, I don't know. We need to break that.
Well, the Diamondbacks have Baxter, and he's a
What is that?
bobcat. He's a bobcat.
Is that it? So they have a snake and a cat as a mascot.
Yes. So the mascot walking around the stadium is not a snake. It's a bobcat, and his name is Baxter, and he's really cute. So you're right. Maybe they just bring enough luck to get the teams where they need to be, and then it's up to the players to take it the rest of the way
For
home.
sure. Baxter, I'm writing this down because I need to look him up after we talk, because I love DJ Kitty. That's the mascot of the Tampa Bay Rays. They show the same video of him now for years. I don't even know if DJ Kitty is around anymore. Maybe he's in that great litter box in the sky. I have no idea, but he's very cute, a black tuxedo cat. You can clearly see he has a little Tampa Bay Rays shirt on. I'm like, when I first saw the video, I was astonished that they got a cat calm enough to put a costume on, because you know how cats are, they don't like anything on them. And then to grab their, not grab, but you know, to hold their two front legs and just go up and down to that 90s, I don't even know, techno song, like dun 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 dun. And then you can see the human grabbing or holding on to DJ Kitty's like right paw and like mimicking going back and forth on a on the on the on the turntable. It's
That's
awesome. I
hilarious.
love it. And of course, there's, like you said, they don't actually have a devil ray walking around the concourse to greet the 7,000 fans that go to every single Tampa Bay Rays game. They have DJ Kitty, and I have a lot of shamelessly, I will say, I have a lot of pictures of DJ Kitty because I think he's awesome. And I may or may not have had bought a DJ Kitty stuffed animal for a cat that I loved. So,
That's cool.
what do you love? What do you enjoy most about going to a baseball stadium? It's now, obviously, now you're basically like a native Arizonan when you go see the Diamondbacks. You obviously want to see them win. They have all these exciting young players. But what do you enjoy about the stadium experience?
Yeah, I love the energy. So I love being in a same space with like-minded people and everybody is cheering on the same team and we're all kind of in it together. And it's a lot of fun. Like that energy is contagious. I'll also admit that I like buying the seats in the area that is sitting like in the club seats where you can go right out and you have all the nice food, all that it's easy to get. And they've got lots of games and activities set up and you can just kind of have fun. And there's TVs everywhere so you can still watch the game. And then I think it's fun as a parent to take your kids to the kids area. So like Baxter has a den or like a clubhouse for kiddos and they can go slide on slides. And there's adult activities in that area where we can like enjoy like the organ music playing and they'll have meet and greets and the kids get to meet Baxter. Sometimes the players, you know, will come up. It's just a lot of fun. There's a lot of energy and they do a good job of like keeping you engaged because nine innings, especially when there's no hits or anything, gets to be like a lot. You want to enjoy the game. But it helps that there's other fun activities to do when you're in the stadium, too.
Yeah, definitely. Especially as you had mentioned, when you're taking kids who are, you know, not adults or they're kids or preteens or what have you. That's one thing that I've learned the hard way. Not the bringing children to the stadium. I actually prefer to go by myself to a baseball stadium or someone else who really enjoys baseball, because I've gone with other friends who are just there just. Hey, it's something to do outside. It's a really nice day in May or June. And I'm like, I want to concentrate on the game. I know. Yeah, it's two different experiences. But yeah, if I'm going, obviously with children, you're like, you can't expect them to sit there for 90 minutes. Like, you know, like you're, I don't know, like they're in algebra class or something like that. It's too much for young kids. And so, yeah, I definitely like that they have that for the kids so they can go in and out because their attention spans aren't as strong.
Yeah, it's true. And like this last summer, we went to a Diamondbacks game and my daughter at the time, she was 12 and she just got to the eye rolling state when some player from one of the teams, couldn't tell you, hit a foul ball and it took out the lights in the stadium. Like the power went out. And so then we had to sit there while we waited for the crews to like bring the power back up. And you know, that was like 40 minutes maybe. And she was like, I can't believe we have to sit here. Can't we do anything else? And I'm like, well, you can't go walk around. There's no power. Like everything is out. You just have to stay put. She was so bored.
You know what? This genuinely just came to me, Wendy. On top of having games and what were those old pit balls at Chuck E. Cheese? Is it called pit balls? The ones at Chuck E. Cheese you would just dive into?
Oh, a ball pit. Yeah.
Ball pit. Instead of having like ball pits and these random grab machine things where you get a stuffed animal and you only have to pay $10 for something that was built for 50 cents in China. What about a cat cafe at Major League Baseball stadiums? Because when I travel, I love always looking, whatever it's a new city, I love going, I love seeing if it has a cat cafe, some kind of art galleries, and ice cream. You have ice cream at every baseball stadium. Most of it is not good. Art, some of them have it like outside. They'll have like legends of in their bronze, you know, a manager, mm-hmm. a player, but no cat cafe.
I think that would be none.
Brilliant, seriously. And that could coincide with your work, your business as well.
It could be fun and entertaining all at the same time. And people could have a cat to pet and drown away their sorrows when their team is losing.
It
could be therapeutic.
I think we need to somehow push this through and tell them like there's money to be made in housing 10 cats and that obviously available for adoption to good homes, et cetera, et cetera. They need to do that. And that segues into, tell us about your business, the Whisker Sitter, and you also work for one of your other gigs is for Meowtel.
Yeah. So we provide a cat sitting service. My daughter and I do. So my daughter is now 13, but last summer we started Whisker Sitters as a cat sitting business. And then we advertise on Meowtel. Like that's where we promote it. And Meowtel is it's an app for people who are in need of cat sitting because they're going to be out of town or away for some reason. And they're looking for someone to check in on their kitties. And so we do that already for a lot of our neighbors. And so we just scaled it to support others in the Chandler Gilbert community. And it was really important to me. You know, my daughter is she loves to dance, and she is a very serious ballet dancer and has dreams of being a ballerina, but it's a very expensive sport. And in the summertime, there are these incredible opportunities to go dance in other cities, and live there and stay there. And so she's going to be doing that again this summer. But I really wanted to work with her to understand. I want her to have just a real concrete understanding of like how much her passion costs, so that she's not responsible for paying for the whole thing, but for her to contribute something towards her dream. So that I think it just brings like a level of reality, a level of, nothing is free, and this costs like her dad and I a certain amount of money, and we're happy to pay for it. But I don't want her to be so privileged, if that makes sense. Like, I don't want her to grow up thinking like everything is just handed to her. And so I told her she needed to come up with some ideas for making money. And so Whisker Sitters was her idea. And once we start advertising and through Meowtel, as well as just through our local neighborhood association, she gets to see what it means to like go out and work, basically, like go spend a half hour at someone's house, feed the cat, play with the cat, change the litter box. It teaches her a certain amount of responsibility. And then also to see like that money goes into her savings account. And then when it comes time to pay for the summer program, she will go withdraw that money and basically hand it over as her part of like contributing to the cost of the summer programs. I think that sometimes it can get lost on kids. I know certainly for me, like you just don't always have a good sense of savings and just the value of a dollar. And a dollar saved is a dollar earned, and when you spend it, now you don't have it. And those are just important values that I want her to understand as she's just now becoming a teenager and has a very expensive hobby that she wants to make a career out of. So yeah, so this was one of her projects she came up with. She started an actual business too. So she has an Etsy store and she makes crafts and sells those. So she's trying to do like a variety of things. And I think it's impressive. She was 12 years old and has business licenses that are all in her name. So it's pretty cool.
I think that's seriously brilliant. And I give you and your husband virtual high paw up, and also her as well. Because as you said, you're teaching them that certain sacrifices have to be made for some of the things that we love and are passionate about. And I'm giving her a high paw up because she could have easily said, "Hey, mom and dad, you know what? No, if you aren't going to give it to me, I'm going to go into my room. I'm going to put on my Oculus gear and I'm going to virtually pretend that I'm a ballerina." She didn't go that route. She was like, "I want to do it. I want to do it in real life." So, cheers to her.
It's a lot of fun.
I'm sure the only ballet, I think the only ballet I've ever watched is not Swan Lake, the other one from Tchaikovsky, the Nutcracker. Yeah,
Nutcracker, yeah.
that's the only one I've ever watched. But I'm like, whenever you're casually watching some of these like documentaries, it's like the amount of stress that ballet puts on a young woman's body is incredible. And their feet, oh my God, it's like they almost look like basketball players, like the amount of just all that weight is on their feet, the jumping, the doing this, and how the shoes are like, I don't know, the shoes are weirdly shaped. Well, for us who are not ballerina dancers, but yeah, that is definitely an athletic thing, even though I don't think people appreciate it, just how athletic dancing is, as opposed to, like you said, playing softball or baseball growing up.
Yeah, it's way more athletic and than anything I ever did playing softball. I can tell you that, and it's way more intense just for what she does, she dances 18 hours a week and then has rehearsals for shows on top of that.
Oh my God.
So just her classes are 18 hours a week. And you're right, she dances in point. So it's called on point or endpoint, E-N-P-O-I-N-T-E. And that's the point shoes. And they literally dance on their toes. And she loves it. It does not hurt. The thought of dancing on my toes
doesn't hurt yet.
Makes me want to cry. Yeah. No, she's been doing it for a couple of years. She loves it. I don't know. It is a whole different world. And it's a lot of fun. And cat sitting is helping her be able to go and have amazing experiences in other places and help broaden her own like horizons outside of just our local dance community, which is a very solid dance community, but it's good to see what's going on elsewhere in the world too.
Definitely. I think even though this is probably not ballet appropriate, maybe on one, I don't know what they call it, sock that she can have whiskers on one of the socks. And then the other stocking can just be like baseball bats and baseball because you used to have maybe her older brothers that she never met, apparently, were named after the Chicago's finest baseball teams.
Oh, she knew them when she was a little toddler. So they were her buddies. They lived a long time. They just, the one lived 18 years, the other one 16. So they did. They lived a long time.
So what were these two cats, her older brothers who went to that great litter box in the sky? What was their name?
Cubs and Sox. So Chicago Cubs and the Chicago White Sox. When I adopted them, I had just moved to Arizona and I had just bought a little house all on my own. I was 22 years old. And my cousin had a friend whose cat had gotten pregnant and was going to have kittens. And so, of course, I was like, yeah, I'll take kittens. So I adopted two kittens and I got them right after I moved into my house, and it was right around Thanksgiving and my great uncle was in town. And I was consulting with the family at Thanksgiving about like, I don't know what to name these two, but I wanted them to have cute names like Salt and Pepper or Ben and Jerry. Like I wanted something fun. And, my uncle, he was an older gentleman in his 70s or 80s. And he had his finger on his chin. And I remember him like thoughtfully looking out my mom's window, and he turned and he was just like super wise. Why don't you name them Cubs and Sox? And I was like, duh, like we're all from Chicago. Why don't I name them Cubs and Sox? And so, yeah, that became their names. And they were my little pals.
I love that.
For a long time.
When you leave the house, I always try to leave, when I've had cats, some people like leave music. Some people don't leave anything at all. I've always tried to leave like knowing that, 2 hours is going to be a baseball game on channel X or Y. And I always try to do that because I want to not indoctrinate, but I want to be like, look, these bats kind of look like your tail. And so maybe you're going to love baseball as much as I do. That's my logic to have some kind of noise for the cats, even though, their cats usually sleep 18 hours a day. Going back to what you had said about the things that you love going to a baseball stadium is the energy. Were you able to go to any of the World Baseball Classic games last year that were held at Chase Field?
No, I was not.
The next time the World Baseball Classic is played, I think it's in 2026. I highly recommend that you guys go to, because the energy for that is even different than a Major League Baseball or a playoff game. And I went to some of the World Baseball Classic games in Miami last year, and it was outrageous. It was so much fun. Because, sometimes you go to a baseball game like on a Tuesday night, Saturday afternoon, it's chill. Like you said, you can walk around the concourse, get your nice food, but it's a different type of energy that I found going to these international baseball tournaments where, the countries are represented. Obviously last year, Japan beat the U.S. team in the final, but World Baseball Classic. That's what I would say.
I will have to check that out. Awesome.
Artificial intelligence is all the rage right now. Are you afraid AI is going to take your cat sitting job?
No, because even if AI could figure out how to magically feed and water the cat, which we have some technology now that can do that, I don't think, unless people go buy a robot who is trained to clean the litter box, if they're going to be gone for 10 days, they're going to need a cat sitter to some degree to come and take care of the cat box.
I agree with you. Yeah, AI is going to be changing. Maybe AI changes the way you feed a cat and you change their litter box. But you know what? Maybe because AI is already helping out with diagnosing cancer, like even earlier than what other tests would do. What if there's going to be machines that you feed, as gross as it sounds, you feed the cat poo poo into some machine, the AI machine scans it and be like, oh, they might have kidney issues, or this is a perfectly healthy cat. And then cats, who usually live longer than dogs, who, you know, cats can live 12, 16, 18, even longer than that, 20 years. Maybe they may live for 50 years to keep them healthy. And they can do the same thing with dogs and parrots, and especially pet rocks. They live the longest.
Well, you know, there's specialized litter that you can buy that actually tests the urine every time a cat goes to the bathroom.
But that's too analog for Silicon Valley. Silicon Valley is not going to make money off of that. They need something you need to plug in with your Bluetooth and have
an app for it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
God forbid we do anything without an app.
That's
but
true.
They're great because otherwise Whisker Sitter and Meowtel wouldn't be around.
That's right.
Let me ask you one last baseball question. Who was your favorite player growing up?
Ryan Sandberg.
Why?
He was a Chicago Cubs player. I think he played shortstop. And I played shortstop. And then I think he might have played second base. But he was an infielder. He was always on, you know, when they would interview on WGN, interview the players after the game. He just was a very popular player to get interviewed. So he was always in front of the camera. So he was just always a player that as a kid who you always saw, right? Like he was just always highlighted. And then since I played shortstop, like I always felt like a kinship with him. I was like, ooh, Ryan Sandberg, like me and Ryan. So kind of funny, like really random that he was always my favorite player growing up.
Very cool. Okay. Yeah. I can see that. Yeah. Because when I'm thinking about those, because when I was coming home from school, the Chicago Cubs were always on WGN, even though I'm actually wearing an Atlanta Braves hat because of TBS, even though I didn't grow up in the Atlanta or the Atlanta area, because they were always on prime time going to winning all the time. The Cubs were not winning. They were just an average team. And the only player I remember from those are Mark Grace.
Yep.
And I want to say Andre Dawson, but I don't think I saw him in a Cubs. Yeah.
He played with the Cubs.
Yeah.
And Sammy Sosa.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. But this was young Sammy. This was two things. This was young pre-steroid Sammy Sosa. And when Sammy Sosa was a young black gentleman from the Dominican Republic, because tell me you've seen recent pictures of Sammy Sosa.
No. I haven't.
He is now a white Latin.
Oh.
And this is not a joke. He's done some kind of like Michael Jackson skin bleach. It's insane. It's like you were a, you know, good looking dark black Dominican. And now he's like a white Dominican woman. It's crazy how he, whatever he did, it's sad. But nevertheless, yeah, Sammy Sosa, young, very thin as a toothpick. Sammy Sosa.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. He was.
Earlier we talked about the Ukrainian food. We weren't talking about Ukrainian food. We were talking about the hot dog, that Chicago style hot dog I ate in the Ukrainian village. You love going to the baseball games and sitting specifically next to the good food. By the way, I don't know if you've been to Citi Field in New York, because today the Mets are, because they got postponed yesterday because of the rain in New York. Citi Field, I haven't been to all stadiums. Citi Field, my favorite food stadium. I'm just sharing that with you. If you guys ever find yourself with your daughter at some ballet recital or tryout at Juilliard's in New York City.
That's good to know.
And
just been to like Tigers, you know, where the Detroit Tigers play, and San Diego Padres, and obviously Chicago.
And I'm sure you could use some of the Meowtel Whisker Sitter money for really good Mets, really good seats at Citi Field, because the Mets are not going to be good. And I'm sure you can find them on the secondary market for like $10.
that's a good tip. I have a pro tip right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Wendy, you clearly love cats. I love cats. You love baseball. I love baseball. Cubs fan. You respect and love your family members who are a White Sox fan. And now for being basically a native Arizonan, you've been in Arizona for many years and you love the Diamondbacks. If the unthinkable happens in the sense of we take you away from all the wonderful, beautiful cats in Arizona and say, Wendy, we need you with the front office of the Arizona Diamondbacks. If you were the newly crowned general manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks, what's one or two things you would do? Because remember, you can do anything you want to run the team.
I don't know if this is necessarily improving the team, because the team is, I mean, they are knocking it out of the ballpark. I mean, we saw the World Series run and we saw yesterday's game 16-1 in the season opener. It was a blowout. But there's a lot of controversy going on and heating up out here that has to do with their stadium. And if I was the new commissioner of the team and the new general manager, I would figure out how to keep the team in Arizona. I don't want to see that team leave Arizona.
There's talk about the Diamondbacks leaving the Phoenix area?
Oh.
I didn't hear
about
that.
In the local media.
Oh.
Yes. So they are unhappy with their stadium. They signed some contract a few years ago with the city of Phoenix I'm not going to get this all accurate, but like they turned over rights of maintaining the stadium to the Diamondbacks, but now it's an older stadium. And I mean, it's not that old, but you know, it's over 20 years old. And there are just some things about it that need repair. So for example, we had the game rained out on Monday. There was a game. We've never had a game rain out, I don't think, or maybe I think something other than baseball rained out once, but it's because they can no longer close the roof of the stadium when people are in the stadium. I've been there before many times where they close the roof or they open the roof, but being Arizona, I guess we don't have tarps for our field. So they didn't have a way to deal with the rain on Monday. And so it literally, a microburst went right over the stadium. It didn't rain at my house, but it rained there. But they had to cancel the game. And so it's just like there's repairs needed at the stadium. And the Diamondbacks franchise is, they really want the city to pay for it as opposed to them paying for it. And I mean, I looked up ticket prices. Games are selling out. Yesterday was sold out. Like, I feel like they're making a lot of money. And they could probably pay for repairs, or at least be a heavy contributor to paying for repairs. So if I was a general manager, I would take care of that stuff, because the fan base here is highly loyal, highly energized, super excited fan base, especially coming off the World Series run. You want to keep that energy here. They are the Arizona Diamondbacks for a reason. And, you know, I would be very sad if they became some other city's Diamondbacks. So I would figure out how to raise the money, spend the money we have wisely, and partner with the city to make it happen.
That's awful, because the only team I know that was clamoring to move, which is in your old stomping ground in the South Side, Chicago White Sox, Jerry Reinsdorf potentially wants to move the White Sox to Nashville. And he met with the mayor of Nashville in December during their owners' meetings in Nashville. But I didn't know this about the Arizona Diamondbacks and their issue with the city and then the stadium. So yeah, you're absolutely right. Sports is important. It's not the most important thing in the world. And certainly I don't think that, you know, funds should be diverted from like construction and education to fund some billionaire because they don't want to shell out money. But yeah, that is a noble cause to do as a general manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yes, keep them local.
And speaking of local, I love traveling. And when I travel, I try, if I'm able, to make sure I can see like a baseball game, whether it's a minor league game, college baseball, or obviously your major league baseball. If I were to go out to the Arizona Diamondbacks, when I'm looking for an ice cream place, a cat cafe, and a good place to eat, what's a place in your neck of the woods in Gilbert that you love going to, a local place where you like to have a good meal, coffee, a drink?
Yeah. So if you find yourself in Gilbert, I would like to recommend some Chicago options. Portillo's is here. Lou Malnati's Pizza is here. Rosati's Pizza is here. So we're very lucky, because I believe the state of Illinois contributes the second most number of people who relocate here. So coming from the Chicago area, it's a lot of good food here from Chicago, and it's all sitting in my backyard, which is great. And then local food, local farms. There's a place called Joe's Barbecue, and their family is one of the original founders of Gilbert, and they have a number of restaurants. But Joe's Barbecue in downtown Gilbert has the best barbecue I've ever had. And I've had lots of barbecue all over the country. Joe's Barbecue is the very best barbecue. It's delicious. All the different meats are really good. All the sauces are good. So from a foodie standpoint, totally recommend Joe's. And then from a beverage standpoint, in Chandler, we have a restaurant called the Modern Margarita, and they make the very best margaritas. They have a big margarita menu. The prickly pear margarita in particular is delicious. They have a really nice patio. I should mention Joe's Barbecue, even though it's right downtown in Gilbert, which is a really hip, happening street. It's very walkable. They have the restaurant is obviously a building, and then next to it is, they have open space, they have property, and you can play like full size Twister, and there's like tire swings, and there's picnic tables, and it's super, super great food and a great atmosphere, and you're right in the middle of everything that's going on.
I don't doubt that the deliciousness of the margaritas and the drinks at this place, but I don't think adults drinking a margarita and then going to play Twister is the best combination. They might do their best cat impression of vomiting on your very, very expensive rug that your grandma gave you.
Hopefully that
we don't want
happen.
That. We don't want that. Yeah, we don't need to see nuclear green margarita all over the place. That's
ew.
We'll leave that to the cats.
That's right.
Well, Wendy, I want to thank you for joining us to talk about how amazing cats are, how amazing baseball is and important in our lives, and also teaching kids the importance of competitiveness and also money. Let us know where we can find you if we're in the Arizona area that we need to be cats at. I don't need to be cats at. What if your people's cats need to be sat?
Yeah, we don't want a cat sit for you. Just saying. So, I mean, you can find me on meowtel.com. It's just like, it's spelled like it sounds, meowtel.com. And we're under Whiskers Sitters Cat Sitting Service. So you can find us that way.
At the end of the interview, I usually thank the guests for joining us. But you know, I'm gonna throw you a curveball on this opening weekend of baseball. I want to thank cats for making this interview possible. Because without the cats of Arizona and the suburbs of Chicago, Wendy and her daughter wouldn't have opened up Whisker Sitter to make it possible to find her on the internet and invite her on this podcast. So thank you, cats. You know, I mentioned the cat cafes. There's a place where the whole country is a cat cafe. I'm talking about Greece.
Calimera.
Good morning. It's the lands of cats. It's better than any cat cafe. And because of that, because I knew I was going to be talking to Wendy this weekend, and there are so many cats in Greece, I decided to have a nice mastika drink, which is a Greek liqueur. It's like you can have it like after dinner, after you have all that awesome Mediterranean food. Highly recommend it. Greece is an amazing place. High paws to the cats of Greece, to the cats of Gilbert, Arizona. And I'm looking forward to an amazing baseball season. What is my predictions? I was debating whether I was going to talk about predictions because, frankly, I think predictions are a bunch of nonsense when it comes to podcasts and all these sports websites. Predictions are just a way to just take up time and talk about nonsense when you have nothing else to talk about, because no one ever goes back and says, oh, by the way, writer so-and-so, podcast Y, said that this guy was going to win the MVP. This guy was going to be the breakout player. Nobody cares. But I'm still going to share that I think the World Series is going to be between the Atlanta Braves coming out of the National League and those darned Houston Astros again coming out of the American League. And I think it's going to be Houston beating the Seattle Mariners. I know I'm doing this completely backwards. Houston beating the Seattle Mariners in the American League Championship Series in 7 games, and it's only because of the Astros' ridiculous experience deep in the playoffs is going to beat the Seattle Mariners. And then ultimately, America's team, the Atlanta Braves, are going to take down the Astros in 6 games. Cheers to you, my friend. Welcome back. Now that Major League Baseball season has come back, I'm going to be coming back. This podcast is going to be publishing every week because in the offseason, taking it easy in the offseason. Now we're back. We're in the air quotes, best shape of our podcast life. I want to thank you for listening to Last Call Baseball. Be great, get home safe, and go Braves.